Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Dave Winogrand, Assistant Deputy Chief Management Officer at the U.S. Department of Defense. Also joining us today from IBM is Kevin Green. Dave, in December 2010, DOD released the FY11 Strategic Management Plan. Would you elaborate on the strategic vision outlined in this plan, and what about the five core business goals identified in the plan?
The Strategic Management Plan has been a seminal moment for us. It was one of the things that was called out for in the same statute that created the Deputy Chief Management Officer job. How can we make sure that the business of the Department of Defense is aligned, integrated, improving, and how would we know that? And so we've gone through several iterations now, and the plan just gets better and better. So the thought is that you would do a quadrennial defense review. You would take the results of the quadrennial defense review and turn that into an overarching strategic management plan for the entire Department of Defense. And then you could imagine that components and functionals would have a nested set of plans underneath of it. So rather than everyone going their own way, the Department of Defense's strategic management plan sort of cascades down then to a plan for the Army or a plan for the information management space constructed by the CIO. But they're a nested set and they're aligned and goals can cascade through. There's a lot that's been learned over the years about, you know, if you can have a cascading set of goals and measures, you can really sort of drive behavior because everybody can align to a top-level goal, but they understand that their portion of it is something different. When I worked in the Navy, you know, we were trying to align behavior, and so we went to a measure for aircraft, let's say. Aircraft are ready for tasking, which is an overarching goal for the department, but one that can be broken down into the parts that belong to the people who buy planes, the people who maintain planes, the people who hire pilots, the people who train pilots, the people who actually operate the forces and fly the planes. So there's a similar sort of thought here. And it is the first time. So the strategic management plan is the first venture, I would say, about a real-life strategic management process for the entire Department of Defense. And as you mentioned, there are five major themes. There's supporting the all-volunteer force. So think about things like quality of life issues and improving medical care and electronic health records, supporting contingency business operations. So what are we doing to reduce the need for cash on the battlefield? What are we doing to improve in theater contracting? The third one is reforming the DoD acquisition and support processes. So that's got some really interesting stuff about IT acquisition reform, energy efficiency, export controls. The fourth one is enhancing the civilian workforce. So how can we do things like shortening the hiring process, shortening the time it takes to get security clearances? And then the fifth one is strengthening financial management. So audit readiness, accuracy of payments. And as I said, it's been a big step forward, and particularly in the FY11 strategic management plan, there's this tight coupling from the QDR down about a goal and then the performance measures and how those would tie to the budget.
So actually, I want to pick up on that because you've mentioned that this is the third, I believe you said it was the third release of the strategic management plan. So how has it evolved? And maybe you could highlight some of the points of evolution in the FY11 plan. And what are some of the key changes and how does it specifically overlay or dovetail with some of the guidance in the 2010 QDR?
Yeah, sure. I think that's actually the biggest change, right, is that the synchronization, because as you said, the first two came a couple of years into the last four-year cycle of the Quadrennial Defense Review. So this 11 plan was the first one to be able to take advantage of the new Quadrennial Defense Review. So the fact that it's actually directly tied to and derived from the QDR is one of the biggest changes. We've also made a really strong tightened alignment between the strategic management plan, the quadrennial defense review, and the department's performance budget so that, you know, we can tie results to how money is spent, tie results to the top goals of the secretary and the deputy secretary, and have a common organizing taxonomy, if you will, as well as I mentioned before, this idea about cascading goals. So how are you at a component level contributing to the overall goal for the department? It's very aligned with our business enterprise architecture. And so the key processes, the end-to-end processes that we refer to them that are in the business enterprise architecture are linked to the strategic management plan and how you're going to make progress in those end-to-end processes. We've improved the sort of automated collection of the information so you can actually track your progress and see how your results are, how you're doing with your results and be able to show that to senior leaders so that you can make course corrections or put energy where you need to.
In a time of increasing fiscal constraint, it's important that the department's business system investments be aligned with its strategic priorities. For FY11, the department will focus its efforts to improve overall management of its business system investments in four areas: Would you describe the four improvement focus areas?
Yeah, I'm really excited about this stuff. I mean, I sort of think this is sort of the heart and soul why I was so excited to come and work for Beth and do the, you know, in the office of the Deputy Chief Management Officer. So we'll go through the four of them and I'll touch on them and then, you know, we can dive into them as you all want. First one is this idea about end-to-end processes. And that's a real game changer for the Department of Defense. It really is. And so if you look at the business enterprise architecture, you will see that there are these 15 end-to-end processes. And an end-to-end process is something like from procure to pay, from hire to retire. So looking at an end-to-end process and figuring out how it maps across organizations, how it involves systems and IT capabilities, and looking at how you could improve that process. And that's a real change for us. This idea about thinking about process change first, instead of becoming so enamored with the thing I want to go buy that I lose all track of, and then I try to make the system fit a really cumbersome process. I mean, you need look no farther than the way the department has stumbled and then recovered for, you know, in the spaces of travel and personnel and things like that to see if you're not going to change your processes, then it's very hard to get commercial solutions to just sort of nicely work without huge sets of interfaces. So this idea about think about the outcome first. How do you move away from either a stovepipe functional view or a stovepipe organizational view and instead look at the outcome that you want to achieve, optimize on that, and then, oh, by the way, you'll be able to get rid of a lot of legacy systems. I mean, if you invested in ERPs, you should use them. And if you see a disconnect between the capability an ERP can provide, an enterprise resource planning system, and one of the legacy systems that existed before it that does a similar capability, you know, who's looking at that to make sure that we don't keep both of them? So that's the first one. The second one is the streamlining acquisition processes. And so there's this big effort that's going on in this idea about IT acquisition reform. How can you keep pace and how can you deliver capabilities more rapidly and more effectively? The third one is this idea about reengineering processes. And so business process reengineering is not a new topic, but it has been reemphasized. It's been reemphasized in the FY10 Authorization Act for the Department of Defense that, you know, it's now a prerequisite before you can get certification of any major investment for a system that you can demonstrate that you've actually done business process reengineering. So again, you know, before you start wanting to spend money on, you know, some development or modernization of a business system, what have you done to improve the process first? So we've issued guidance about how you would go through that business process reengineering assessment. You know, how can you figure out what the problem is you're trying to solve? How do you align to do that? How do you look at your as-is and then your to-be? How do you eliminate unique requirements and minimize the need for interfaces and have outcome-based measures so you can see if you're making progress? And then the fourth goal is this idea about more cost-effective infrastructures. We're going to seek efficiencies wherever possible. You know, it's a top priority of the Secretary. And one of the things I'm excited about, in addition to the IT acquisition reform work, is the IT consolidation roadmap work that we'll be doing to try to improve and reduce redundancy where it's not needed.
Back to that comment on IT systems. In March of 2009, the Defense Science Board reported that the department was struggling to keep pace with the speed at which new IT capabilities are being introduced and the speed at which potential adversaries can procure, adapt, and employ these same capabilities against the U.S. To that end, would you elaborate on the department's effort to reform its IT acquisition and employ a new acquisition process that meets the dynamic IT needs of such a complex organization?
Yes, and I'm smiling because, you know, IT acquisition reform, everybody wants some of that, and everybody tells you you should do it. We've had a lot of help, a lot of support from the Defense Science Board, the National Academy of Science, Congress. You know, everyone has emphasized, and we agree, that there is this fundamental need to shift the way we acquire and maintain information systems and information capabilities, and it's going to be a radically changing world, and it's going to be hard because it's going to get back to that cultural change stuff. I mean, the way we do business now is not the way we'll be doing business in the future, and you need look no farther than the phenomenon of Web 2.0 and the embracing of service-oriented approaches to things, and right, the world's changing, and so the way we used to do the work isn't going to be the way we do it in the future, and so it's one of the jobs that the Office of the Deputy Chief Management Officer has to lead this IT acquisition reform. So we've set up a task force. You know, we have an agreement across the department. It takes too long to deliver IT capabilities, and it costs too much. And so you're always shooting for something that ends up being in the past, and you're not keeping pace with the possibilities. And if you look at things like the iPhone or the Droid, how fast they come to market, how fast thousands or tens of thousands of apps are built for them, there's a different paradigm going on here that we're going to have to embrace. And it's more than just the sort of acquisition process as we think of it. I mean, it affects everything from how you do requirements to how you measure the progress of your plans. And so our task force actually includes a number of work groups, and they're focusing on the different areas that need to be reformed. How can you look at requirements and make sure you're doing the right requirements for the right outcome, but doing them at a speed that doesn't make you get behind, right? How do you look at contracting and improving the way and the speed in which we contract? How do you look at money? Funding is an interesting thing, and some of these things are things that you can do yourself. I would argue that there are a lot of improvements that we're already facing that don't require any kind of changes to laws or regulations. But then there are some that, you know, we will need help from Congress on. Funding is one of those. The way we book money into appropriations is an impediment to moving with speed. If a program manager wants to change approach because of some new idea or new technology, they quickly run up against the barriers of a research, development, test, and evaluation. RDT&E money has to be used for certain things. Operations and maintenance money can only be used for certain things, and it takes time to reprogram or go ask for more money. And so perhaps one of the things that we could do is work with Congress to say, if we had more flexibility in how we spend dollars, and frankly, the appropriations are set up to help maintain a sense of control, right? But if we could replace control through different appropriation types with better transparency, and transparency is all the rage now. So I would offer that we could show how money was being spent in real time so that, you know, everybody could be comfortable we're spending it appropriately, but give us more flexibility in how you spend the money in exchange for more transparency about how it's being spent. Likewise, tailorable processes. If you know the outcome that you want to achieve, then you could take a look at, is this the kind of outcome that requires an enterprise resource planning solution? Is this an outcome that requires a managed service or partnership? Does this require web services? How would you do it? And each one of those processes should be tailored. How can you look at governance better? How can you look at test and evaluation better? How can you make sure that you have the right kind of workforce in place and the right kind of measures? It's going to be a lot of work, but we have aggressive timelines, and so stay tuned. There's a report to Congress that you can go look at to see what a lot of our goals are, but also in the months ahead, you know, as we get into the summertime, we'll have more and more deliveries that are coming out of this work about how we will be changing things.
At all levels, the department's establishing performance measures and tracking performance to verify whether planned outcomes are actually realized. To that end, would you describe the overall management framework used to monitor and assess performance results throughout the year? How have you sought to improve your performance management systems and further automate how you collect and use performance data to inform decision making?
It really is a sort of combination of the conversation we just had and then the emphasis that we're putting on performance management, right? If you help people get things done more rapidly and more effectively, you know, you'll be able to see results sooner. Right now, we go over a long time before you see results when we do big IT systems, you know. For some of the big sort of very complex systems, it could take, you know, years. And so if you can get things done more rapidly, you can begin to see the progress of your plans. If you break things down to a more modular approach, you can begin to see successes and know if you're heading in the right direction. You can use tools correctly. I mean, getting information capabilities is very different than building a weapon system. And yet we kind of use the same sorts of rules for both approaches. Right? So I need people with the right set of skills to rapidly deploy information capabilities, which is a different skill set than what it takes to deploy a new weapon system. And we need to use the tools that we have the right way. A technology readiness assessment on a new weapon system makes a whole lot of sense. A technology readiness assessment on products by IBM or Oracle or Microsoft, you know, that are used by millions around the world makes a whole lot less sense. So if you sort of get things moving faster, you'll be able to see progress better, but you'll never get to the place that you need to be if you don't have a better emphasis on performance management. So I often say, you know, you can look at it either way you like. It's, if you're an optimist like me, it's called management by attention. If you're a pessimist, it's management by embarrassment. But either way, it gets the job done, right? The things that we measure, the things that we focus our time and attention on. And so if you actually can force yourself, which is something we haven't done a good job on in the information space over the years, to think about outcome-based measures, not lagging indicators and output measures, but outcome-based measures that you can keep an eye on, you can drive execution, you can make sure that you're getting where you need to go, you can celebrate successes as you make progress so that people don't lose enthusiasm as they wait for the actual final outcome, and you can make course corrections. So are you developing the right kind of outcome-based measures? Are you validating the data that you're getting so you see that it's you know, is accurate and timely? Do you have senior level commitment and accountability for these goals? Do you have both, you know, short-term goals and long-term goals in place? Are you actually analyzing the results so that then you can circle back and think about how you might change and improve the goals during the next cycle? We have a tool in place to help us do that. We use the Defense Business Systems Management Committee, chaired by the Secretary of Defense, involving the CMOs, Chief Management Officers from the military departments and all the undersecretaries of defense, to review the progress. How are you actually doing on these measures that are in place in the Strategic Management Plan? Are we headed where we need to go? There's 80 performance measures that sort of come out of the Strategic Management Plan. They're linked to the QDR. They're linked to what are GAO high-risk issues, what are OMB priorities. And then, you know, are all of your executives rowing together? So are performance appraisals, performance plans actually including these goals as part of your compensation and, you know, and performance appraisal? And then the final thing, I guess, is, you know, by having a good performance management system in place, you can actually see where help is needed. And then you could sort of focus your Lean Six Sigma teams, your continuous process improvement teams to, you know, go work on the areas that most need help.
How is DoD improving its business and systems operations? We will ask Dave Winogrand, Assistant Deputy Chief Management Officer at the U.S. Department of Defense, to share with us when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.